Hi, everyone. Before we get started with today's episode, I need to address some recent news. And also, I want to issue a trigger warning for the next minute or two. I'm going to be talking about sexual assault. So, if that's trigger for you, fast forward a minute or two until we get to the start of the episode. So, at the end of February 2020, a woman came forward with the story that alleged that Timothy Hutton raped her shortly after he became famous. I don't want to go into the details here, but the story was originally published on BuzzFeed News. So if you want to read the full account, you can go there and find it. What I do want to make clear here is that we here at Let's Go Steal a Podcast believe the victim and we stand with her. I've discussed this issue with my other co-host, and we honestly did consider just stopping the podcast altogether. But we have, at this moment in time, anyways, decided to move forward. The fact is, we were fans of the show before these allegations broke. We're going to do our best to separate the character of Nate Ford from the actor who played him. And as always, we're going to apply a critical eye to what the show is saying in every instance, just the way that I feel that we have for the past three seasons of the show. But as this story develops, we might need to change this approach. So, and I'll keep you updated if we decide to do something different. And as always, I welcome your thoughts on how we should handle this going forward. Thank you, and let's move on to this episode of Let's Go Steal a Podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, Tara Kennedy is with me. And we're going to be talking about the Boys Night Out Job episode of Leverage. So this episode aired on December 18th, 2011. And in this episode, which is a kind of like the reverse side of the coin from the Girls Night Out Job, we find out what the boys were up to when the girls were having their Charlie's Angels moment. And it's just as exciting,
It
but
is so
less
exciting.
fewer Australian accents. But you know,
But there's an Irish one, so on balance.
there's an Irish accent, you know, so that's something. Yeah, so this episode was directed by Mark Roskin. No, it wasn't. I lied to you. I'm so sorry. It was written and directed by John Rogers. Last week's episode was directed by Mark Roskin. And they filmed them on the same night. So there's lots of crossover. And of course, they in the commentary are complaining that they filmed it on the shortest night of the year. They filmed it like on the summer solstice. So they were like, instead of chasing daylight like you usually do, they were chasing night and like just trying to stop the sun from rising. Also, I feel like I should give a shout out to this website that I found. It's called leverage.whendarknessfalls.net, and it has like just transcripts of entire episodes of Leverage. So I didn't have to do
Oh.
my third rewatch. I'm just going to read through the scripts to
Oh,
keep
that.
track of where things are going.
Well, and I was telling someone like back in the day that used to be super common, because the other thing that used to happen, particularly for TV shows that aired on channels like, the UPN or the CW back when they still both existed as separate entities. There would be nights that there'd be a basketball game, and so you would lose the episode, but the episode would still air for everyone who wasn't in the city with your basketball team. And so I would have to, go hunt down and find these transcripts of the Gilmore Girls or the Veronica Mars episode that I missed. And then, everything switched to recapping, and people stopped doing the transcripts as much because I think it literally was people who just watched the episode over and over again and transcribed it.
Yeah, it has to be. And it's wonderful because there's like stage direction on them, so you like know exactly what's happening. It's fabulous. Yeah, I'm gonna put the link in the show description because I didn't do all this hard work. Somebody else did way back in the day, and they deserve the credits. This episode, just like the Girls' Night Out Job, there's a lot of similarities between them. They're parallel episodes, after all. Has a return of a beloved character from the first season. And in the Girls' Night Out, it's Peggy. And in the Boys' Night Out, it's Hurley, who even kind of returns in the same way that we first see him in his in the 12-step job. He's driving along, singing along to, like, music poorly in his car. And then he has to, like, slam on his brakes because he's the car who basically hits Mattingly from the first episode. And then it switches to the scene that we know from the last episode where everyone's in the apartment. They're getting ready for the poker night that Nate does not want to host. And I love Banana.
Banana was fabulous.
And you know, the girls leave, so we don't get to see their side anymore, and the guys are just arguing about poker strategy, and apparently Hardison likes to bet on everything, which is, like, not good odds. And then he makes a Han Solo reference. Or wait, does he make it? But Shelley, because we have Detective Bonanno joins them for the poker night, and then also a friend of Elliot's named Shelley, who is not a woman, but is a kind of scary man who...
Yes. He doesn't seem like he has a lot of normal human interaction.
No, and you can tell he's, like, having a great time. It's almost as if he is an alien, like, observing life on this new planet. And he's like, aren't these things amusing? And, you know, Bonanno is, you know, does the small talk, like, so what do you do for a living, Shelley? And he's like, well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. And he's like, ha, ha, ha. And Elliot's like, no, he's telling the truth. They, you know, reminisce about how he killed a man with a peanut allergy.
Yes, because Nate tries to explain to Shelley that maybe you don't joke about killing people in front of a cop. And Shelley's response is, oh, I would just make it look like an accident then. Which is where you're like, oh, so Shelley doesn't have any friends who aren't in the business either. Yeah. Like, Shelley has the same problem Nate does. He doesn't know how to talk to normal people.
Which makes you wonder, like, how did Elliot get good at it? Because, you know, he says, oh, I have my friends from the service, like, so that's why Nate needs friends too, because Hardison has his internet friends who are dwarves and gnomes, and I've got my friends from the service, which I don't think automatically makes you a well-adjusted person, especially if you are friends with the people like Shelley.
I don't think it does. I have always worked on the assumption, well, A, that Elliot has figured out how to because it makes for better cover, but also that because Elliot, I assumed, was more freelance, there's maybe a little bit more client schmoozing you have to do when one is a freelance hitter versus a government paid hitter.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like the time that he spent with Moreau, like, who is, like, a real smooth operator and knows how to press people's buttons, he probably picked up a lot of stuff then as well, just to survive, but also because I think he's a good, like, mimic of, like, what other people are doing. This is when Hardison gets the call from Parker, and Elliot's like, respect the game. And Nate has finally had enough, and he's like, I'm going to go downstairs and get a scotch. And then I love Hardison saying, he says, you know, he's worse than before he went to prison. And Shelley's like, he was in prison. And Elliot's like, yeah, he went to jail, but he escaped. And then Shelley's like, you're a cop, Bonanno, like, this doesn't upset you. And he's like, eh, you get used to it. Which is apparently, like, John Rogers is saying, like, that this whole poker game is just a big nod to, like, actually in old school Boston, that's how it was. Like, there would be, like, a weekly poker night with the cops and the gangsters and everything, and that's how you run a city, is you have the cops on your side, I guess, where everyone puts their differences aside for poker. I don't know.
Yeah, I sort of operated on the theory that Bonanno has decided that on the scale of baddies, the Leverage team is doing kind of the wrong things for maybe the right reasons. And he's just
decided
to develop blinders where they're concerned.
Definitely in that case. I feel like the game that Nate's dad had back in the day, not as much. But Banana's definitely
Feel like that was much more straight up corruption, whereas this is Bonanno is like, you know, like
the enemy of my enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And very the ends justify the means, sort of.
Right.
So yeah. So Nate goes downstairs to pour himself a drink at the bar, and Hurley shows up and is like, you know, big effusive Hurley, and he like gives him a hug, and Nate's like, do not touch me. And he's very disappointed that Nate's drinking again. And he's like, yeah, I'm still drinking.
I mean, I don't know what Hurley thought Nate was going to be doing at the bar, but yes.
Right? But he's like, hey, I got clean.
Go to bars and just drink water or soda. I just, you know. But yeah.
I mean, Wyatt Earp did it. So.
There we go. I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, I can understand, like, Hurley kicked his habits, bad habits.
And in fairness, Hurley is, as we will see, you know, incredibly optimistic at every turn.
Yes, even when all of the information before him would lead you not to be, he is unfailingly optimistic. And we learned that Hurley has been down in Mexico, where Nate sent him, and the tacos are amazing. He loves tacos. And so he and Nate go for like a walk, and he's like, how did you find me? And of course, Hardison told Hurley how to find Nate. And as they're walking and Hurley's like showing off his 2-year sober pin and all this stuff, they realize that somebody's been following them. And
well, so just to clarify, Nate realizes somebody has
been following
them. Hurley has not.
No, Hurley, no, bless his heart. He's too busy telling him how he's like gotten this job, he's working for this nun named Sister Lupe, and he's working for her church, and he like brings things up, like statues up from Mexico to deliver them, and that's why he's in Boston. So he's like, oh well, while I'm here, I decided to drop by. And you know, Nate's immediately suspicious. And that's when he's like, oh, these two guys are following us. Like, we need to go. We need to run. And they, just as they take off, the men, like, you know, of course, start shooting at them. So then Elliot, inside the apartment, hears the gunshots and is like, well, they're calling my name. Like, that's for me. And he, you know, brings Hardison with them downstairs. And Harrison's like, no, I got a good hand. And he's like, no, you don't. So he's like, you know, we're going to go get some pizza. He says to these two men who could help them. Like a trained killer. Yeah, and
I'm sort of surprised that, like, it made perfect sense to me that Elliot noticed the gunshots. I was sort of surprised that neither Shelley nor Bonanno seemed to notice them.
Yeah, that's really true. Or they were like, I'm off the clock.
I mean, it's possible. Like, you know, everybody needs their off time.
It's true. They're like, not my circus, not my monkey. And Elliot
is like, this obviously has something to do with Nate. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Nate. I love Bonanno as they leave to go get pizza. Bonanno asks Shelley if he's married, and he says, to the Constitution of the United States of America. But I was like, okay.
Yeah, I felt like Bonanno was trying really hard to find something, you know, innocuous to talk about, and it was like, all right. like, you don't know how to have real conversations. Okay.
No, so good. So then we go back to Nate and Hurley, who have run over to some parked cars and outside of a church. And Hurley thinks that these men are after Nate. He's like, "Oh, those guys are really mad at you." And Nate's like, "No, babe, it's you. They're mad at you. And we got to get off the street because we are sitting ducks here." So they run into this church and then they head straight for the basement. This church is very lovely. And it leads to like some of my favorite scenes from this episode are outside of this church. But we're not there quite yet. Then we get to see Elliot and Hardison doing some detective work out on the street at night, trying to figure out where they went. And Hardison's like, "Okay, you know, it's Boston, like gunshots on a Friday night is not really a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, but it's not out of the ordinary." But Elliot's like, "Look, man, violent crimes in major American cities are at their all-time low in 40 years. So he's like, "So it's not actually normal." And, but also Hardison is very distracted by all of the stuff, the information he's been getting from Parker. So he's not really taking this very serious until he kicks something on the ground and he picks it up and it's a blank key card. And which is very weird that there's no writing on this key card.
Well, I think there was a period where in an abundance of concern, the key cards were blank because the idea was if they could identify what hotel you were at, they could then follow you. And I feel like now we've just sort of flipped back on that, but that was a concern for a while.
Okay. That makes sense though. Okay. I like it. Cause I was like, I mean, I'll buy it as a reason that Hardison has to do his magic.
I mean, it doesn't explain how they ever figured out what hotel it is.
that magnetic strip, like, of course. And they're not able to get a hold of Nate. He doesn't have his earbud in, and he doesn't have his phone on him. So they're flying blind, basically. And Hurley and Nate are in the basement of this church. They're kind of standing in a hallway in front of a closed door. And Hurley still thinks that Nate is the person who's being chased. He's like, "I've gone legit. Obviously, you're still on the wrong side of the law. And, you know, you should look at yourself, Nate." And he's like, "No, whatever this is, it's you. And we are not leaving this basement until we figure out what's going on." And then they open the door to this room in the basement, and it's an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And he's like, "Never mind, we're leaving this basement." But Hurley's like, "No, Nate, we can't leave." And he's like, he points up and he's like, "It's God, we gotta go. It's a sign."
Well, and kudos to the music producer on this episode, because the music gets very heavenly in this moment.
It does, yeah, really
just feel, in case you weren't sure that everybody thought, you know, that everybody, well, everybody being Hurley, that Hurley thought this was a sign. The music was there to back Hurley up.
Yeah. I love Hurley. He's so dumb. I love him. back with Elliot and Hardison, you know, Elliot wants to call Parker and Sophie, and Hardison's like, "We can't, they're busy." And then he's like, "Well, Parker's busy." He's a little upset about that. Elliot's like, "Come on, like, let's just do this." But Hardison, he's like, "No, I got this. I'm going to reverse engineer this key. I'm going to figure it out. I've hacked my phone to read the strip." And there we go. He's got the hotel and the room number. And it's only a couple blocks over. So they're going to head over there. And he's like, "You know anybody else who can do that?" "No, I don't think so." And he's like, damn the tux. Because he is very sensitive about this at this moment. And then we get to go back to the AA meeting, which is, I think it's just like this great, almost like improv moment, like in this, just this little, these scenes here are so good because, you know, Hurley's happy to be there. He's obviously been going to these meetings all over, you know, in Mexico regularly. He's well versed in it, and he's happy to be there because he is the most extroverted person, and he is just ready to share and to encourage and support people, including his man Nate. And the woman welcoming them is like, "Oh, are you his sponsor?" And Nate's like, "Nope, no, he's not." And Hurley's like, "Well, yeah, kind of." I love that Nate's like, "Hurley, you're not my friend. And also, you're a drug mule." And he's like, "I used to be a drug addict. I think I'd know if I was a drug mule."
Which is such a fascinating attempt at logic.
So great. And, you know, he's like, Nate pulls up, is like holding the statue of the Virgin Mary, and he's like, "This is where they keep the drugs." And he's like, "No, Sister Lupe would never get involved in that kind of thing." And then he pulls out his phone, and he's like, "She is too a nun. I met her doing charity work." And then he shows this picture of him with Sister Lupe, and she's a beautiful woman in a bikini, and they're like on the beach with like tropical cocktails in their hands.
But as he says, I mean, nuns do swim.
It's true.
It's actually true. Not a phone, because he later says so it's like there was that period where iPods like would also let you store pictures.
Oh my gosh.
And so I think that's what it is, because Nate is, you know, later that's trying to get a phone, and Hurley doesn't have one.
Yes, that's right. But he does have a way to play music, because he was rocking out to his music in the car. He plugged that into the aux. Okay. I love it. Yeah. And Nate's still trying before the meeting starts to be like, "Dude, you've been duped. You know, they're taking advantage of you." He's like, "No, I'm not that guy. I don't hurt people." And you genuinely feel bad, because he is not doing anything consciously to hurt people, but you're like, "They're taking advantage of you, you big dumb lug."
Right. It's like they have better ways of distributing Virgin Mary statues than having you drive them all over town or all over
all the way from Mexico to Boston in a car, like, you know, not a big truck.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, I swear I'm a good guy. And Nate's like, "Yes, you are. I'm sure she's really a nun, an improbably hot nun. You know, I'm sorry, take it back." Like, because he's upset him, and he feels, honestly, he feels bad. But he's like, "We're gonna stay down here until I figure out what's happening, because I think you're in danger." And of course Hurley tries to go give him a hug, and he's like, "No, get off me." And then the meeting's about to start, but Nate's like, "I have to get a hold of Hardison and Elliot, but the church offices are closed." And like, he asks several people, just cold asks them for their phones. They're like, no. And then now, Tara, it's time for the best scene in this whole episode, which is a great episode. There's so many really good scenes. Like, there's some really good ones with Elliot and Hardison coming up, but this scene, I think, is like one of the best scenes in the entire show, the entire series of Leverage. The two guys who've been chasing them are outside, the church, and they proceed to have an argument about whether or not it is morally right to shoot these men in a church. And so, like, these are two thugs who, if they were standing outside, would shoot them. But one of the guys is like, "We can't go in there. That's a church. I'm not going to a church to kill two men." And Liam, the other guy, is like, "Well, no, they're in the basement. It's not the same thing." And he's like, they don't say mass in the basement, and it's not holy ground. And he's like, "What? So it's like not holy ground and then holy ground, like just one level up?" And he's like, "No, well, the Boy Scouts meet in the basement, don't they? And they're not a religious group." And then he's like, "A Boy Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Reverent is right there at the end, because it is, if not a faith-based organization, not entirely secular.
Yeah, it was a delightful exchange.
Oh my gosh, it is so good. And then Liam's just like, so you're not coming in with me? And he's like, no, we'll wait right here, and we'll shoot the courier when he comes out. So good. And then he's like, how did you know that about the Boy Scouts? And he's like, we all had dreams once, Liam. And it's just, you get to see like this little interior life of this character who doesn't even get a name. And we have the other guy's name because he calls him Liam, but we never learn, he's on here as Irish Thug. And it's just so good. It's just so good. Elliot and Hardison, meanwhile, have made it to the hotel. And this part I get confused with, because it does, there is a crossover with the girls episode here. And I think I get it, but I'm also like, okay. Because they go to the room and the lights are off, because the lights should be on if the cleaning people have already come by, and they're not. So Elliot's immediately like on high alert. But Elliot
didn't really, I mean, it certainly seemed like the other option was that the person inside the hotel room was sleeping.
Yeah, or that they had come back after.
I mean, Elliot was right. I don't want to, you know, discredit Elliot's suspicion, because his suspicion was spot on, as it turns out. But yeah.
Yeah, but you know, Hardison is distracted because he's complaining about Parker's situation, and it's so good. And Elliot's like, "Well, you know, don't complain about this guy in a tux. Like, maybe if every once in a while you took off the hoodie and put on a suit, maybe light some candles." And he's like, you saw Parker at the chocolate festival, she was eating chocolate, getting it, like she was all over the place. So she doesn't care about like being neat and like perfect. And he makes fun of, he calls it Witch of Warcraft instead of
let's call it Witch of Warcraft. And Hardison's so distracted, he doesn't even correct him.
Well, he said, you know, I'm sick of you and all of my games. Like, leave me alone. And then he, like, goes to open the door. And that's when Elliot, like, stops him, because his spidey senses are tingling. Okay, so, oh my gosh, thank God for this transcript, because it's explaining things to me. So, Elliot looks in the room, and I guess it's... No. Because it says Mexican 1 and 2 get up from the ground in this transcript.
Yeah, so the Mexicans are in the hotel room and they burst out, guns a-blazing. And then as they are backing up down the hallway while Elliot tries to fight them off, and Hardison mostly watches.
Waves the gun around and is like, let me shoot him.
Yeah, no, Hardison does... Elliot hands Hardison the gun, and Hardison keeps being like, I'll shoot him. But Elliot is, of course, fighting the guy, so he can't. And then they knock into the two Venezuelans who are leaving Madeline's room.
There we go. Okay. Because I don't know why, like, it always confuses me. Because then they're also like, you just beat up two dancers.
Found the Venezuelan. Like, it took me a couple times through to figure that out, just because, yeah, it just and then they find the invitation to the Night of Venezuela, and so Hardison is like, oh, look, they're dancers, and Elliot's like, they're not dancers.
Very distinctive footwork style, and it was not dancing. Okay, but yeah, I forgot.
Elliot is also like, no, these two were, the first two were Mexican, but these two might be Venezuelan, in typical Elliot fashion.
Can tell. Well, they're knocked out.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. And of course, like, that makes sense, because the next thing they do is go to the Mexican bar. Okay. I was like, who are these extra people? Okay. Because the Irish are not happy, and neither are the Mexicans. And then it goes back to the church basement, and Hurley has gone up to like be the first person to talk at the AA meeting, And he really, like, just dives into it. You know, I lied, I stole, I deluded myself into thinking I was still a good guy and all this stuff. And, like, Nate's still asking people for their phones, and they're like, shh, no, this man's talking. And he, Nate's like, okay, this is how I'm going to get a phone. I'm going to go talk. And so he gets up and he, like, just gives this big speech about how he needs to make amends and he wants to talk to his ex-wife. And if only I had a cell phone right now, I could just do it and start the healing process. And immediately, like, everybody's hands goes up with a the cell phone, which is so good. And so he grabs a phone and he starts to call. And it's, he calls Elliot while they're, or I guess he calls Hardison, right? While they're going through the stuff in the hotel room. And they don't know that it's Hurley, right? They're just like going through this bag. They know that there's enough clothes for about 3 days. He's a big guy. All of his clothes are made in Mexico, which I don't really know if that narrows down where you're from, where your clothes were made. But sure. And Hardison has found a valet ticket for Hurley's car, and it's down in the parking garage. And Nate calls Hardison and is like, hello, sweetheart. And then he's like, don't hang up, don't hang up. So he's having this whole conversation with Hardison and Elliot, but in front of everybody. So he has to mask it and, you know, try to tell them what's going on with him and what he needs from them, while not giving away the fact that he's not talking to his ex-wife. So good. And Hardison's just like, are you drunk? No, I'm not drunk. And Hurley's like, he's a little drunk.
Kind of.
And then he's like, no, I'm with Hurley. And they're like, wait, the guy from the rehab job? What? Okay. So, you know, he tells him he's in a safe place. And, you know, Elliot's like, I think we met some of your friends, like Mexican hitters. Or he's like, oh, was it Venezuela? No, Mexican hitters. The first two were Mexican hitters. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, this all reminds me of the Irish church that we got married in. And so, you know, he's letting them know there's Irish people, and also we're in a church somewhere. And he's like, also like lays some hints at, like, I'm sorry, about the car, which he knows that the shipment of all these statues is in Hurley's car. And it's so fun because they're like, oh, what? We have a valet ticket. We could go find this Hurley's car. And it's, I don't know, it's very Scooby-Doo gang, like finding the clues and, you know, deciphering the riddle. And he's like, yeah. And, sorry about the bag of drugs. And everyone's reaction, because they're just like watching, like, this is a soap opera. They're like, oh, no.
Yeah. It felt a little bit like the other alcoholics were like, whew, at least that wasn't me.
Right? Like, oh my God, I thought I had it bad. And then so Elliot and Hardison go to check out Hurley's car, and as they go down to the parking garage, they find, like, the valet attendant passed out on the ground, and they make sure he's alive. He is alive. And as they are standing there, a car comes, like, rushing towards them, and Elliot grabs an umbrella from an umbrella stand at the valet, and then as the car drives by, he pushes it into the car and, like, opens it at the same time, so, like, it obscures the driver's view. And you know, the driver loses control, and it's crashed, but now, like, the driver got away and it's empty. So they check the back, but it's also empty. And, you know, they're like, okay, so they got the drugs. And they run after them. So Nate and Hurley are still back at the AA meeting, and you know, Hurley's really, really proud of him. And he's like, listen, Hurley, that was not my wife on the phone. And he's like, I don't want to tell you your business, but you really need to make amends with your wife if you have a girlfriend. And he's just like, you just do not get it. Like, I can't spell this out. Like, let's just go. And Liam and the Irish thug are outside, and they see that people are coming out of the church now, and they are like, okay, like, let's, you know, we're ready to get them as they come out. And Hurley and Nate are ready to head outside. And as they are about to open the door, they hear someone say Hurley's name, and they turn around, and there is a beautiful nun in a habit. And he's like, oh, Sister Lupe. And she's like, she kind of smiles at him, but then she sees Nate and she like immediately pulls a gun on him. And then Hurley's like, Sister Lupe. Which is I love that trope where, you know, someone says something excitedly and then they say the same thing again, like sadly, like a second later or later in the, whatever it is. Just that. It reminds me of the Hawkeye comics by Matt Fraction, which are amazing, but there's like a scene, it's like a recurring thing where something happens. Just some like mundane thing goes wrong. Like he's drinking straight up like old coffee out of the coffee pitcher and it like spills on him and he goes, oh no, coffee. Or he like his drawstring pants break and he's like, oh no, drawstring. The Matt Fraction Hawkeye comics are the best. But Hurley and Nate, you know, are ushered into the church by Sister Lupe, who's holding a gun on Nate still. And Hurley's like, this is so not cool, Sister Lupe. Muy malo. But Lupe thinks that Nate is leading Hurley into an ambush. And Nate's like, wait, was it the Mexicans or the, and he's like, she's like, no, they were local. They were like white guys like you. And then he punches her in the face. Nate straight up punches a nun in a church. And Hurley's like, talk about needing to make amends, dude.
I'm sure the Irish mumpsters outside would also be very saddened.
Yes. Well, one of them at least. One of them would be very offended. I guess she had a phone on her because he calls Hardison back and, you know, he's like, did you get the bag of drugs? And they're like, no, it did not really work out. And, but you're with Hurley. Is he okay? So Nate fills them in. So he's like, he's been running drugs across the Mexican border. And he's like, well, it's not his fault though, but he was in Boston making a delivery when the Irish mob, probably the Callahan family, decided they were going to take him out. And the Callahans, you know, he's like, the Callahans run the drugs and they didn't want the Mexicans infringing on their territory because they think, oh, that he's coming across from Mexico, so the Mexicans must be in charge. So they're going to kill Hurley to send a message. And, but he, if he is going to make a bargain with them to save Hurley's life, he needs the drugs as a bargaining chip. So they need to go to wherever the Mexican cartel is based in Boston and get the drugs from them. Yeah, so he's like, you know, they're probably holed up somewhere and they're laying low. And they, so they don't know where the Mexicans hang out. So they call Bonanno and he's being held in a chokehold by Shelley, which... normally, like, that's a hilarious scene to come to, but, like, at this moment in time is, like, kind of a scary thing to see somebody in a chokehold on television. But it appears to be consensual, a consensual chokehold. Yeah. And he, like, taps out and Shelley can go. And it's a very different kind of chokehold than we've seen in the news lately. So,
yeah. Fanfic fill-in of this is that I assume after Shelley said he was married to the Constitution that Shelley like also doesn't watch movies or sports or anything, so in an attempt to find a common ground but like, what's your up with, well, how about you show me how to get out of a chokehold?
Yeah, we're like, yeah, I'd be like, oh, you used to wrestle? Like, oh, I wrestled. Like, show me your techniques. I don't know. It's just interesting way to bond these two who've been left by themselves in this somebody's apartment. And so he answers the phone and Shelly goes to the fridge and only needs orange soda in the fridge. And they're obviously, it's Hardison asking like, hey, where do the Mexican drug smugglers hang out? Do you know? And he's like, oh, I mean, just theoretically, right? Yeah, sure. I'll text you some addresses. And Shelly's like, they're not coming back with that pizza, are they? And he's like, you get used to it. They, you know, they have rhyme to their reason, method to their madness. And then back at the church, Nate has Lupe's gun and he's like, this is a kid's toy. This is not a real gun. And, you know, Lupe's like, I was just trying to scare you off. I didn't actually want to hurt you. And, you know, Hurley now is like really hurt. He's like, what? So you could get your drugs? And Lupe like takes off her habit and she's like in street clothes. And they said in the commentary that they talked about this actors. They were like borderline creepy white dudes talking about women, or just creepy dudes talking about women. But they're like, she was wearing this dress and he's like, and on like two-dimensionally, it looked fine. But like when she took the habit off, it suddenly did not look very appropriate. And so they had to put like a jean jacket on her because there was a little too much cleavage being shown. They're like, oh, let's make that a little more PG. And, but she reveals that he is smuggling drugs over the border, but they're not like illegal drugs. They're cancer drugs from factories in South America that her group liberates and sends up here to people who can't afford expensive cancer drugs in the U.S. And they bring them to like churches and hospices here. And she's, you know, then she pulls the ultimate card. Children would die if we didn't do this. And Hurley, you know, at this point is like, well, you can't pull my heartstrings. I'm not going to fall for that again. And, you know, Nate's not, doesn't quite buy it either. But she says, you know, the cartel found out we had a regular route into the States and they planted their drugs in Hurley's car. And she only found out about it after he left. So she came up here to warn him. And, so Nate's like, so the local branch of the cartel is going to take the delivery and then they're going to kill Hurley to cover their tracks. And she's, you know, then they're like, okay, so what do the Irish want? And he's like, well, they want to kill you to send a message. And Hurley's like, there's just too much wanting to kill me in these scenarios and I don't really like it. Meanwhile, outside, our two lovely thugs are still waiting and a car pulls up. And a very angry Irishman comes out. This is our lovely accent. Though Lupe has an accent as well. He like, you know, where are they? Where is he? And, you know, they're like, oh, he's in the church, Mr. Callahan. And I, you know, it's sacred ground. You can't go shooting a man in church. And he's like, oh, that's true. You can't shoot a man in church. So go in there and drag him out and we'll shoot him out here. And they're like, well, I can't say no to my boss, so I guess we're going to go do that. And they run over and run inside. Which also leads to,
it was also like, funny that, like, in all of their discussion before, or didn't come up with the run inside, you know, it's useful to the plot that they didn't. But, yeah. Go inside and drag them out to the parking lot, which is apparently not sacred ground. Seemed like a solution that had been available for some time.
Yeah. That's very true. I mean, that's why they're low level.
I mean, yeah.
That's why they haven't moved up. And they're not the go-getters that they need to be if they want to move up in the Callahan organization.
Yeah. It sounds like that dude never got his highest level of the Boy Scouts.
Did not become an Eagle Scout. Like,
I feel like that is the kind of leadership that you would learn. Made it all the way up.
Right. Now, Elliot and Hardison have the address of a tavern where the Mexican cartel hang out. But Hardison is still like preoccupied with the whole Parker thing. And, you know, Elliot's like, this is the last address. Like, let me handle this. And because he's preoccupied with this other situation, he gets really prickly. He's like, oh, what? So now you don't need me either? Which is like, to my little OT3 heart is like, yes, your other guys. Yeah. And you know, then Elliot's like, okay, listen to me. So Parker's out with some handsome dude. Okay. Like, and sure, he's a thief. And so he also does cool thief stuff, just like her. And you're the computer geek. And he's like, this is your pep talk. This is how you're trying to help me. And he's like, okay. I mean, he's like, it was a little rough. And he's like, as a friend, you were dead to me. But he's like, but go on, what were you saying? I'm not exciting? What is it? And he's like, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if I said that would mean that I'm thinking about you and Parker, which I never do. Oh, never. I never do. But he's like, but maybe you're slow playing it a little bit. Maybe you need to be a little more assertive. And he's like, oh, I need to be assertive? I'll be assertive. And then he like walks up and headbutts the bouncer at the door guy at the bar. So good. And he's like, that's probably not necessary. He's like, that guy's not even, okay, sure. And then Hardison walks in and he just like, just basically says, you know, I like, good evening, assholes. I'm here. Like, I'm Feliz Navidad and kiss my happy black ass. And then, you know, he's just like, I'm a corrupt cop and you need to tell me this stuff, and starts just running his mouth because, one, I love him, but he's not great at a con. And two, he's just needs to be the alpha dog right now. He is feeling insecure. And but I just love that Elliot's like, by the way, I don't think that bouncer outside is affiliated with these guys, just so you know. That was a mess up. So good. He's like, not now. I got this. And now the thugs have gone inside the church and they don't find Hurley in the basement, so they go into like the main sanctuary of the church, which, by the way, is not a Catholic church, very obviously from the setup of it. And then they also said it's not really one in the commentary. I was like, that looks like an older church, and that is not how older Catholic churches are set up. But Nate is in a full cassock. He's like wearing a full priest garb as if he has just had mass. Like, he's got all of the robes and everything.
Although,
and he's just kind of standing there.
The robe is green, which is an atypical color. So I sort of assumed that Nate had grabbed a tablecloth and created a robe for himself.
Oh, no. There is a certain time in the liturgical year that the priests do wear green robes. It's usually, like, I think around Easter. But yeah, no, there are different colors that are, like, liturgically correct for different parts of the year. Like during Advent, you'd wear purple or pink. Okay, yeah, so green is the vestment that you would wear during ordinary time. So when it's not during like an important holiday, like Advent or Lent or things like that, like Christmas and Easter. So yeah, that's something you would find. So, but they, you know, they're like respectful of him, and he has like almost like a little lilt to his voice, his accent when he's talking to them, which I think is hilarious. And Lupe and Hurley are like hiding behind some pews, so of course this is all gonna go well. And back at the bar, Elliot's like, please let me take care of this. And Hardison's like, no, I got this. Like, I'm gonna take care of this. And he just starts like yelling at the guy who seems to be in charge, and like looks at his ID, and then is like a little racist about his name being Aaron Cortez. Like, Aaron is not cannot be a Mexican name. And he's like, do you think we're all named Juan and Roberto? And he's like, come on, that's racist. And he's like, of course I'm racist. I'm a dirty cop. And Elliot's just like, in the background just shaking his head like, oh my God, why is this happening to me right now? But yeah, so he's like, you know, you've got to deal with me or somebody's got to get a squeal. Aaron's like, well, maybe not. We don't want to deal with you. So he tries to get the rest of his guys to attack Elliot. And we know how well that will go over. They go to like grab their weapons. And so while Hardison's running his mouth, Elliot proceeds to like beat up every man in the bar. So great. I love this description. Elliot holds the unconscious man upright and smiling awkwardly as Hardison turns around to look at him. But more importantly, we have to go back to the Irish thugs in the church because Nate's like, oh, it's a little early for midnight mass, isn't it, boys? And, you know, he's like, oh, we're looking for somebody. And he immediately like puts them to work. He's like, here, will you move these flowers? Like, pick up this vase. Go, go, go. Help him. Just help him out. And he's like, oh, you were an altar boy. I can always tell. So Hurley and Lupe are trying to like sneak out towards the door. Hardison back at the bar is still arguing with the Mexicans about the competition between the cartels. And, you know, he's like, you know, the Irish are getting a little soft, Hardison says. And, you know, like maybe we should work together. And then he gets a call from Parker and immediately just like leaves. He's like, hey, what's going on? Just leaves Elliot, who's just standing there because now everybody's
unconscious except for Aaron.
So good. So the thugs back at the church are trying to say, hey, we're looking for this guy who came in, a large fellow. And oh, Nate's like, oh yes, he went into the confessionals a little while ago, but he hasn't come back out. And so they go over and he's like knocking on the confessional doors and he's like, you have to come out of there. You know, there's no playing about now, come out. While Hurley and Lupe are trying to like sneak out. It of course does not work. There's a lot of going back and forth here and I feel like that's very confusing when we're talking about this. Where it feels much more seamless when you're watching it. But back at the bar, Hardison's distracted because he's on the phone with Parker and she's like asking him about like, where else would you be hiding information in this room? And it's in the frame. And then she hangs up on him and he like walks back and he's muttering about it. And he like has to make it look like he's talking about being a dirty cop. He's like, I had to frame a guy. But it's cool. Just had to frame a guy on the phone just now, but it's fine. And, you know, so Cortez is finally like, what do you want from us exactly? And he's like, oh, I want the drugs you got today. And that's that's the first take. Well, it's a sign of good faith and then you can move on and we'll give you our protection. And so Cortez is like, fine, here you go. And Hardison is like very pleased with himself. And he's like, this is how business should be done. Look what I did, Elliot. And Elliot's like, no. And Cortez is like, but look, I want the courier. Like, that's all I want. Like, you can take these drugs, whatever. And Hardison's like, sure, as soon as we get him, you can have him. He's yours. And they shake hands and then they leave the bar. But I don't think they're really going to give them Hurley. That's just my guess. And as they leave, they've got the statues. They like grab one out of the bag and, he like tosses the statue in the air and he's like, oh, that was pretty good, right? That wasn't as great as it was better than that rope climbing guy. And then he drops the statue and they look at it and they're like, does that look right to you? Something about the statue on the ground broke it open. And they're like, no, that does not look right. And at the church, Nate's still trying to stall and Liam notices the Lupe's nun's habit on the ground and he's like, Father, why is there a nun's habit here without the nun inside? And Nate goes, rapture. and then of course Hurley knocks over a candlestick and our candle holder and they see him and they're like chasing him. They're like, he's got the drugs, and they go running after him. And then, so Hurley bursts through the doors of the church and, like, runs across the street, and Liam shoots him in the leg, and Hurley falls down, and Lupe is, like, you know, comes up behind Liam and, like, puts a gun to his head, even though it's probably the, you know, the fake one. And Hurley's like, no, don't kill him, Sister Lupe. And Nate has somehow gotten the car in this amount of time, and he pulls up and he's like, get in. And they're going to have to leave her behind. And Hurley's like, no, we got to help her. And he's like, you're not going to help her by bleeding out in the street. Get in the freaking car. So they get in and they take off. And
well, the other problem is that meanwhile, the other minion has come out and is holding the gun on Lupe. So they can't, like, she can't just leave. She's stuck in a standoff.
That's right. They run off, and our lovable Irish thug is like, Sister Lupe? He's like, oh, I'm going to hell. I just held a gun on a nun. They don't drive very far, and they get out of the car. And Hurley's like, why are we ditching the car? And Nate says, because we didn't just ditch the Irish mob just so that we could be pulled over in a stolen car, okay? Like, so he's on the phone with Hardison, and he says, okay, you got the drugs, like, go to the pharmacy, and then, like, meet us, get what you need, and then we'll meet you somewhere. And they meet at, like, a restaurant, kind of bar situation. And
it looked almost to me like it was back at the same bar that the Mexicans had been at.
I don't,
I mean, it doesn't necessarily,
I thought it was better than me. I thought it looked like the same kind of floor plan, like, you know, like, really long and narrow, but I thought the lighting was different. And they said this was an actual restaurant. They just let us come shoot in there for a little bit.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. You know, they, like, shut the place down, and, you know, he, like, gives her $100, and he's like, I'll give another $100 when we leave, just if you're close to somebody else. So Elliot starts doing some low-key surgery on Hurley, just, like, in broad view of this, like, front window of the restaurant as well. And Elliot and, or Hardison and Nate do some science experiments to see if these drugs are legit. And, you know, it's a drug testing tool that you just can pick up at any pharmacy. And they see that they aren't positive for, like, narcotics. So they are, like, that means Lupe was telling the truth. And that they are cancer drugs. And they're like, you know, Elliot's like, who's telling the truth? And Hurley does show him the picture of Sister Lupe. And Elliot's like, yeah, that's not a nun. That's not a nun. And
yeah, I feel like we need to say that there probably are hot nuns somewhere in this world. I mean, obviously Sister Lupe was not a nun.
Right.
But there probably are hot nuns somewhere in this world.
Oh, yes, I am sure. There have been hot priests. There have been hot nuns. But they're not wearing bikinis at the beach. It's not really what they do.
Nuns probably do not generally spend a lot of time at the beach and or wear bikinis. I mean, I confess I'm not sure what the rules on that are, but I feel like probably no.
Yeah. I mean, no nun that I've ever met would do that. Then back at the Marco's Tavern, which is where the Mexicans hang out, they also have a statue, one of the statues, and they open it up and they see that there's pills, and they're like, they said they were sending heroin and cocaine, and this is not heroin and cocaine. And, you know, one of the guys is like, well, he said the drugs were in the car. And then they have this, like, whole, like, Spanish, like, conversation, like, is it in the car or inside the car? And he's like, in the car? And he's like, are you asking me or are you telling me? And then you're like, oh, suddenly there's more to this story.
Yeah, so I enjoyed that, particularly as someone who had trouble with prepositions when I was learning Spanish. But
yeah,
I found that
Yeah, but that was really kind of very clever.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, so now we've got to find Hurley's car again, because that's where the real drugs are. And we've got to find those because that's what Callahan wants. And this is how we're going to get Hurley out of being murdered tonight. And his car has obviously been impounded. They go to the parking garage to see if his car's there. And they find out that it was towed to the impound after the cartel guy crashed it. So they, you know, Nate's like, okay, Elliot Hardison, you go get the car. Hurley and I are going to make a phone call. And, you know, they're going to arrange to give the drugs to the Irish. But Hurley's like, well, we don't have the drugs. And Nate's like, right now we're the only people who know that. We're the only people who know we don't have the drugs.
Well, I think he clarifies that the Mexicans know that they have, probably know that they have given them the one set of drugs and not the other. So that's what he's going to deal with the Irish, because the Irish don't know who has what drugs.
Right. Right. So, you know, he calls Callahan to try to like make this exchange. You know, I know I'm calling about this problem that you're having with people trying to sell products in your territory. And, you know, I'm the guy who's going to make this deal with you. So don't worry about who I am. And apparently it's $10 million in street value worth of drugs. And he's willing to trade him for Sister Lupe's life. And Nate's like, cool, done. And he says he also wants the courier because he's got to teach the Mexicans a lesson about not setting up shop in our town. And Nate's like, nope, not happening. And Hurley's like, yes, no, trade me. Like, I will, you know, offer myself as a trade for Sister Lupe because he's so sweet. You know, he's like, they're like, you know, she risked your life. You shouldn't have to save her. And he's like, well, you know what? I got myself into trouble the first time we met and you risked your life to save me. So like, I want to prove to you that I've earned it, that I earned that life that you gave me back. And I'm like, that's kind of beautiful. Okay. And Nate's like, you know, doesn't really respond to that, but he calls somebody again and he says he's calling the bar Hardison said that the cartel was at, and he's going to tell them if they want their drugs, they've got to come there and get them in an hour. And Hurley's like, wait, again, let me get this right. The drugs that we don't have. And he's like, yeah, you're getting it now. And then we have Elliot working his magic on an unsuspecting young woman at a impound lot in the middle of the night. And this is one of the scenes that we saw in last week's episode with Hardison hanging off a fence while dogs tried to get him because they've got to get the drugs from the car or the car. They got to get both. They have to get
the car itself. And I mean, also the drugs, but they have to get the car itself. And Hardison is still in assertive mode. And so Elliot very easily baits him into being the one who's like, no, I must be the one to climb the fence.
Exactly. And they find out they need a second identical gold car. So then Elliot charms this young cop out of another gold sedan. And I love when he goes over to like hit on her. And he's like, oh yeah, like I just like a woman in uniform. And she's like, oh, do you want to touch my gun? And he's like, no. It's so good. It's so awkward. Yes. That whole scene. So then we're back in the parking garage where we're going to have like a big game of like three card Monty, like switching things around. Hardison's a little chewed up from the dogs. And Nate's like, what happened to you? And he's like, security system. And, you know, he's like, does Elliot have the other? Yes, yeah, he's behind me. And they're ready to go. So they Hardison like removes the license plate from the front plate, at least, of the car. And we see that Callahan and his thugs are waiting, and they've got Lupe, and they pull up the car. And Callahan's like, you know, we're going to wait here to make sure they don't run away. And the Irish thug like drives off into the parking lot a little bit. And then we see Nate taking a bag from Hurley's trunk, or the trunk of a car, as Hurley runs up, and he's, you know, tells Nate that they've got everything set up. So Nate's like, okay, you ready to deal? And they said, okay, like the nuns for the drugs and the courier, and they've got a gun on Lupe. And Nate says, you know, no, the first you get the drugs as a sign of good faith, and then you give me the nun, and then I'll give you the courier. And that doesn't work for them. They want to meet halfway. And Hurley's like, I can't do this. And, you know, he's like, they're going to kill her. Or no, they're going to kill me. And he like freaks out and he jumps in the car and he peels off. And Nate's like, no, stick to the plan. And he tosses the bag one way, and then he grabs Lupe and he dives the other way as Hurley drives past them. And Liam pulls out his phone and is like, get the drugs. And, you know, they call to say that the courier is pulling a runner and he's heading Callahan's way. So they get back into their car and they take after Hurley. And as they round the corner, they see him pulling away, and they see that he's got the Mexican plates on the back of his car. So they go racing after him. And Callahan pulls out this like sawed off shotgun and he's like, all right, we're going to do this old school. And you're like, holy shit. And John Rogers is like, oh yeah, this is definitely like the gun that his dad used in the IRA, like during the Troubles. It's like, oh gosh. Okay. And just he like shoots towards the front of this car that comes wheeling around towards them, and he's like, get out of the car. And but Hurley is not the person who gets out of the car, it's Cortez and his men, and they all pull guns and they're like, what kind of double cross is this? And everybody's confused, like, what the hell are you, who the hell are you, like, are they the courier, like, what's going on? And Liam's confused and the Irish thug is confused. And then a bunch of police cars pull up from all these opposite directions, and Bonanno steps out and he's like, Massachusetts State Police, put your hands up. And you're like, ah, yes, Bonanno. And like, where's Hurley? And oh my gosh, what's happening right now? And but Callahan's like cold, he's old school, and he just like stares at Bonanno, and but Bonanno doesn't care. And he's like, do I look like I'm trying? Put your hands on
it. I feel like Bonanno and Callahan have run into each other before.
Yeah, that tracks for me. I could see that. And he, you know, but Callahan's like, what's going on here? What's exactly happening? And he's like, well, what's going on is that I just got the Callahan family in the middle of a massive drug trade with the Cortez, like the Mexican cartel. And they're like, what? No, what? We wouldn't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. And then we get to see everybody's favorite thing, a flashback. We see things kind of from Bonanno's point of view, like of like them all getting out and him, you know, saying police. But then we see Nate on the phone with Elliot and Hardison, and they're like, okay, was there any trouble getting Hurley's car? And they're like, no, Hardison's on it. And then he says, can you get me another one, an identical gold sedan? And we remember that, oh yeah, she said I have 5 sedans just like that, blah blah blah. So they are gonna trick them, obviously. And we see Elliot and Hardison meet up with the Mexicans to like trade the drugs with them, and Elliot is like putting a Mexican plate on the back of a gold sedan, and it's the one that Hardison took off the front of Hurleys, and they're like, oh yeah, we found something of yours, and they open up the trunk and it's Hurley in the back, and he's like, don't hurt me, and they say, you know, get out of the car, and he's like, I'm sorry. And Hardison's like, you can take the car as a sign of good faith. We're going to take a commission from all of your future trades, and we'll get a taste of every shipment, and then we'll give you guys protection from the cops and the Irish. And so Cortez is like, yeah, that sounds good. What about him, about Hurley? And he's like, oh, we'll deal with him for you. And, you know, Cortez is like, well, this seems too good to be true. Is this a setup? And Hardison's like, hell no, man, I'm a dirty cop. And but he's like, but I've got cameras on all the entrances, so just give us 2 minutes to get out clean, all right, before you leave. And they're like, okay. And that's when Nate says that it's showtime, and they do the switch. So that's when Hurley grabs, what does he do? He gets in the car and drives off. But he doesn't keep going. He pulls around the corner and just like into a parking spot really quick. And the other car heads down the ramp. The one that they gave to
the Mexican cartel.
And that's who runs into Callahan, and then, you know, thus Bonanno. This one has a lot of like, I mean, twists and turns, obviously, because there are cars in a parking garage, but just plot-wise as well. You know, and Hurley, I love the, Liam and the Irish thug, like, try to sneak off while everyone's distracted, and they, like, head off camera, and then they, like, you see them both get, like, a punch noise, and then like they fly back at the same time, and then Shelley comes like walking out, and he's got his piece of pizza that he didn't get from Elliot and Hardison. And I love the implication that he punched them both with one hand, or held the pizza in his mouth and punched with two fists. Both are like lovely images of my mind.
I'm glad that they got pizza.
Yes, I mean, I think they deserved that pizza. They definitely worked for it. And it was actually that actor's idea that he would have the pizza, because they had filming went longer than they'd planned, which I think is probably the thing, something that happens on most sets. And John Rodgers had gotten pizza for their second meal. And the guy who played Shelley was like, wouldn't it be hilarious if he got his pizza? And they were like, yes, it would be. So that's great. And then they're back at the bar. Lupe is like sitting on Elliot's lap. Like they've just become real close friends right away. And actually that actress was in one of Christian Kane's music videos. Later on. So they become very good friends. And I do not know, like Hardison's telling some story about a barbershop that I didn't pick up when I watched it, but it's in this transcript in the story. And, you know, Nate walks across the room because Hurley and himself, he checks up on Hurley and sees how he's doing. And, you know, Hurley's like, I can't believe you had to get me out of trouble again. Like, I feel awful. And he's like, no, you know, you put your life on the line because it was the right thing to do. Like, and he's like, you know, you're a good person. And you're not the same guy that you used to be. And, then he says like the most heartbreaking thing. He's like, well, for what it's worth, Nate, I'm not your friend, but you're mine. Like, oh. And then he looks over at Elliot and Lupe, who are like kissing, and he's like, she's not a nun, is she? And he's like, yeah. And then so he starts to leave, and he bumps into Peggy as he goes towards the door. And they introduce themselves, and he's like, are you going out alone? It's kind of late. And she's like, yeah, I'll be fine. And he's like, let me walk you. But also, like, if a large, strange man is like, let me walk you home in the night, I would be like, no.
Yeah, I feel like Alice is probably, given everything that happened, feels like she's already had her dud of the night, and so
yeah, she's like, it can only go up from here. Yeah, so she, you know, she's like, oh, okay, thank you. And he's like, do you like tacos? And she's like, yes. Do you like cats? And he actually, like, earlier when he was giving his spiel at the AA meeting, said that he has a cat named Pedro, which I think is really cute. And apparently was, like, something that the actor just added himself that worked really perfectly. And he's like, I do. And no, he's like, oh, do I like cats? And they, like, walk out together. And I just think that's really sweet, like, imagining Hurley and Peggy out there, you know, having met each other because of the team. And that's something I'd like to see in the new series, is Hurley and Peggy coming back. And they're, like, married and they have children or something. And they, you know, he helps her with her catering business.
He would be delightful in helping sort of front of the house type catering stuff.
He would. I think he would be really sweet because he's a people person. And she's practical enough that I don't think she'd let him get too involved in any pyramid schemes or anything. Yeah, and Nate asks him, like, why'd you give Hurley, like, the address to this place? Like, why did you tell him how to find me? And he's like, you know, you've been so focused on the part of the job where we wreck people, like where we ruin people's lives. I thought you might want to see how we've actually done some good in the world. And Nate Ford says, thank you, which is always like, what's just happening right now? Yeah. And then there's just like a cute little, like, Elliot and Lupe go to leave, and he's like, don't talk to them as we walk by or they'll make us stay. And then they all stop and they, like, hang out for a little bit anyways. And it's so sweet. And that's Nate's at the back of the room just watching them and drinking as they drink, and then fade to black. Yeah, I feel like I did a lot of just narrating what happened in this episode, which is what happens in most episodes, but I didn't think there was, like, a ton of behind the scenes stuff that really occurred to me. Just a fun episode. I love seeing Hurley. I love, like, them not being able to get a hold of each other and being distracted by other things and having to operate without not half the team, but, like, you know, two-fifths of the team, and seeing how they do that.
It is always interesting to see when you add other people into the team who may or may not play by the same roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let's see if my phone will charge up.
Hurley, who believes that Sister Lupe is a nun.
Bless his heart. It's just... But I love that, you know, he's doing well and he's eating tacos in Mexico, just having a grand old time.
No, does Hardston have a realization about him and Parker, or is that just, I know Parker has a realization, I think that's it.
I don't know. I don't think he does.
Yeah.
I think he's like, I'm assertive.
Right. I think he just decides to be assertive.
Yeah. But then we don't see anything that comes of that. And I can't remember if we do see something in the next episode that kind of correlates with that. So that'll be interesting to look forward and see. Do you have a heist slate?
I do. So apparently in 2010, there was like a massive poker tournament in Berlin, and some like armed robbers, and it was being streamed on the internet, and there were reporters and there were all sorts of stuff happening, and armed robbers bust in because there was like a million euro prize, and so they were trying to Or maybe they stole a million euros. I should didn't do it. Remember. But so they managed, the police arrived really quickly, especially since, like, the thing was being live streamed. So they did not find the main prize. They did manage to get away with like 200,000 euros. And it took a couple of days for the police to catch up to all of them.
So the thieves just like busted into this poker tournament, like in the middle of the live stream?
Yeah, they basically like, it was being held in like a large hotel ballroom. And they just kind of busted in. And apparently the, like a lot of the reporters were in a press room where they could like update their stories. And they saw the hotel employees acting agitated. And so assumed a fight had broken out because apparently that happens a lot in poker tournaments.
Okay, sure.
So the reporters all stormed into the room and then realized that there were like actual armed people and it was maybe unsafe and they should not have all followed into the room.
Oh my God.
But the people in the tournament were for the most part all fine. Like just very minor injuries, and you know, the thieves made off with some of the money until they got caught.
Well, I mean, that's how it goes, right?
Yeah, maybe don't bust into events that are being heavily covered by the press.
Yeah, probably didn't think that one through. But I feel like that feels very similar to like the Queen's Gambit job, because they did have press there and it was like a big like international tournament. That's cool. I don't have a heist light so much as I have like a minor update on the Leverage reboot. And I saw this posted on Tumblr, and it is a casting call for a character for the new series. And it sounds like this character sounds really awesome and I cannot wait. So it calls the character's name is Brenda. She's a female they're looking for an actress aged 18 to 29. Asian American, so this is what they need. They need Asian American, strong comedy chops, comfortable playing LGBTQ plus character, sarcastic and intelligent. Brenda joins the team as a new kind of hacker, the relevant kind. Her special skills include being a genius mechanical engineer, just ask her about her drones, and making social hacking and social media manipulation look like child's play. Landing in the foster system after her parents' tragic car accident, Brenda got lucky finding a home with Nana and bonus big brother Hardison, who reached out to the spiky, scared 10-year-old by teaching her computers and hacking. Now, Brenda has a wicked sense of humor and is a genius-level hacker, but doesn't want to be known for just that hello Asian stereotype. She also still has some of her spikes, seeing the world with the jaded view of Gen Z, having lived through 9/11, unending war, global financial crisis, and the destruction of the earth at the hands of the generations who came before. In short, she doesn't believe that the system needs to be fixed. She believes that the system needs to be blown up, and she has decided that joining the Leverage team is the best way to do it. As Brenda trains in her new skills with the other Leverage team members throughout the season, she will learn to embrace and trust her new family and accept the fact that blowing it up isn't always the answer. Sometimes the way forward is to help just one person at a time. And it says series regular 10 out of 13 episodes, so she'll really be in it. And it says note, seeking someone with a strong comedy background, stand up and or improv, a big plus. Yeah. Which that sounds like an awesome character and I cannot wait.
It does. That's such a clever way to make use of the fact that Aldous Hodge is very busy to sort of have him be like, but I got you. I sent you.
Yeah.
My foster sister.
Yeah, my mentee. And then I'm hoping that puts us one step closer to seeing Nana for real.
True. I sort of assumed that Nana was not still alive, but...
I feel like we've gotten like conflicting, like they would say something that implied she wasn't alive, but then also like that she was in later episodes. Because I know that he he robbed the Bank of Iceland to pay for Nana's hospital bills. Yeah, I think she's alive.
Okay.
But who knows, like, you know, what, 10 years almost in the future, if she still is, so. Yeah.
I mean, if she's still adopting new children, it seems, or fostering new children, it seems like possibly she is.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, how old he was when she was a 10-year-old. Yeah, if he was, like, 18 and he was about to move out and he caught stuff, and then she was there for 8 more years or what. So I think that's going to be really cool. But you're right, it is a good way to have, because we need a hacker on the team. And if he can't actually be in frame, sadly, this is a good way to have that role filled, because I know that Elliot was like learning Photoshop and he can do a little bit of things now because Hardison has taught him, but not enough.
Well, and there's no way Elliot uses any social media ever.
Oh my gosh. What social media would Elliot use? He would use like Tinder.
He would not, because he would believe in in-person interaction for that sort of
thing. That's true. Okay, wait. What about like Yelp reviews of restaurants?
Okay. Yes, I could conceivably see Elliot getting Hardison to create him an account on Yelp.
Yes, or like he takes pictures of his food on Instagram.
Yeah, see, I feel like Elliot is still too concerned about the tracking aspect of most social media platforms.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Well, because I was seeing, like, at first I was just thinking he would not be himself, like he wouldn't be Elliot, but...
No, that's true. I mean, he could have a private account where only the leverage team is his friend.
Yes, it's like an anonymous account. And nobody knows who it is, but it has a huge following. But I think you're right about the tracking, like just having that app on your phone as you go around the city. You know, they're geotagging you wherever you stop or whatever. So that's a really good point. Yeah. Maybe he just, like, he has like a Flickr page. He just uploads pictures on Flickr or something.
That's true. Like, I mean, Flickr does still exist, so yeah.
Yeah, that's it for me. Tara, do you have anything you'd like to plug or tell people where they can find you?
You can always find me on Twitter. Always. I'm at Tara TLK, and I'm on there a lot.
You don't have anything else to plug, like a new book or anything?
Yes, I do. I'm so bad at self-promo. I do.
What, like, if this is not an avenue for self-promo, like, what is? Like, this whole podcast is just self-indulgent. It's just me wanting to talk to people about the show. So, like, why not?
Right, yeah, that's very true. But yes, I do also have the latest in my City Complication series. It's out, Undercover Bridesmaid. And I'm trying to remember if I've actually updated my pinned tweet. If not, there's a link that leads back to the other books.
I'll put a link. Yes, very exciting. And you can always... Just like Tara, always find me on Twitter, probably too much, at LibrariansD. Yeah, you won't see us again, but you'll hear us again in 2 weeks. We'll be talking about the Lonely Hearts Job with Robin. Very fun. I honestly don't remember what happened to the Lonely Hearts Job. That would be pleasantly surprising. So, yeah. All right, bye everybody.